This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Dave Schrader in for Chad Hartman here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Kyle Palmberg, a psychology major at the St. Mary's University of Minnesota, conducted a study on social media and its use impact on college students' mental health. And he found this really significant connection between social media overuse and poor sleep quality, which to me is no big surprise being a scroller myself, hypothesizing, though, that similarities to internet gambling addiction kind of align with this. Palmberg's research focused on the motivations for social media use, with entertainment being the most statistically significant. And he noted that social media's addictive nature can detract from personal interactions, sleep, exercise, and it's all negatively affecting our mental health. Joining us on the line right now, Charlie Potts, the interim dean of students at Gustavus Adolphus College, heads efforts to promote digital well-being among students, organizing events like Digital Well-Being Week, and talking to us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Charlie Potts. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Mr. Potts.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Talk to me a little bit about this. What is the Digital Well-Being Week?
Yeah, so we are very focused on trying to talk with our students about how they manage their relationship with their phones and with social media. You know, we found that a lot of our students came to college unprepared to think about that relationship, and it's a really important relationship in their lives. When they were younger, K-12, you know, they probably heard a lot of put down the phone, put it away, don't use it now, but never really thought about strategies or healthy ways to balance their phone use with the rest of their life. So we put on these events a couple times a year to really focus on giving students advice and strategies and really, you know, talk about practical behavior change that might help them do better in the classroom, feel better physically, mentally, and have better social relationships. So we've got that coming up in 2 weeks, and we're excited about some of the events that we're going to have.
But Charlie, I'm already really good at social interaction. I've got 5,000 followers, and look at all the hearts my Salisbury Steak Hungry Man dinner got, huh? What about that?
Yeah, and that feeds into that addiction that that you were talking about with that article, is that we get that dopamine hit, right? Our brains love it when we log into social media and we see that someone liked something we did or commented on it. But that's not real happiness. That's not real satisfaction. And so we talk a lot about that connection of, yep, you get the quick dopamine hit, but then what are the ways that you can sort of balance that and think about what it means in terms of aligning with your values and aligning with how you're going to really spend your time at college?
Well, it's easy enough. I just walk around with a yellow sticky pad and I keep putting hearts on them and then sticking them on people I like and people I don't. I put frowny faces on. So that way they get that immediate dopamine hit and don't even have to be on their phone. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it.
Do the kids, do the individuals at the college, do they like the Digital Well-Being Week, and how do they respond to it?
They do. They kind of have learned to expect it. We do it once a semester, and You know, every once in a while we hear comments about, or when are you going to do this again? When are you going to put on this event again? So, yeah, they've kind of, you know, now that they see that there are some things that help them with that phone, the relationship with their phone, they kind of look forward to it because it's hard work. It's hard work to balance that and be mindful of your phone use all the time. And so at least once a semester, they're getting some active prompts from us. And so I think they've learned to really like it and appreciate it.
How do you feel, Charlie, that social media and texting has affected us overall in the way that we, you know, kind of process information? Because I know personally, it is tough for me. If I get an email and I open it up and it's like three or four paragraphs, I'm like, oh, I just don't have time for this. And then I'm like, what? No, I got to read this whole email. We're so used to 120 characters or 240 characters that is that affecting kids when they're trying to study and read? Their brain is now aligned into a much smaller encapsulated way of absorbing information.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's some interesting statistics about, you know, this current generation of high school and college age, the Gen Z. They have about an 8-second window of discernment for information because I think they've just been so bombarded by screens and information constantly that it kind of pares down that attention span. And I think you're right. There's such a short window to get attention and then to help them process information that it's become a real detriment to, you know, on a college campus, a couple hours of homework a night feels impossible for a lot of students. They can't focus that long because they're used to bouncing from thing to thing.
Right. I've got to guess that is a huge issue with it. Now, I know, too, that, you know, during the pandemic, there were kids going to school from home, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to answer this for my children at the time. They were like, Dad, I completed everything today in 2 hours and I got A's or B's. Why do I need to go to school for 8 hours when I can do it all in an hour and a half? And, you know, I mean, obviously that does have an impact and an effect on how people process information. And now that had to be an even bigger kind of crippling blow to standardized educational facilities and getting people back in the stream of figuring out how to educate them and how they can learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the other ripple effects of the pandemic was, and not only that, the academic part that you talk about, but then the isolation and withdrawal that kind of happened for a lot of students is they could kind of absorb themselves in their phone and feel like they were still connected to other people. But really they weren't. They didn't have the same socialization that kids before them have had. And I think that has really set us back a lot in terms of how our students engage in person socially on campus.
Do you get big gatherings? I went to Winona State, and we used to have gatherings and do things all the time. And there were, you know, there was a lot of camaraderie and just, you know, it just was a community feel to the college when I went there in 88 through 90. And it was, to me, that was part of my fun of enjoying going to college. But when I go through and I walk through some of the campuses now, I just don't see that same kind of sense of community and people coming together. You see everybody on benches on their phone.
Sure. Yeah. And we, you know, at Gustavus, we think we do a really good job of community building and getting people together. But there is some hesitancy with this group that experienced the pandemic. And, you know, returning to normal, the normal is a little different than it was before. And so I think we're still learning what those gaps are and how to get people to feel less isolated, to feel like they can take the risk to be social in person again. And it's taking some time, I think longer than a lot of us thought it would.
I think a lot of us parents are under the situation now that we feel like, how do we temper our children's usage when that is their social outlet? I mean, back in the day, I got on my bike and I biked from house to house till I found somebody to play with, right? That's just the way it was, because I'd get to one house and, oh, no, Leo's not here. He's out with Danny. And I go over to Larry's house. Oh, Larry's over at Jeff's house. And then I'd go over to Jeff's house and I'd find Mike and we'd hang out together. You know, so there was, you had to get out. You had to beat feet and meet people and make something happen. Now it seems like it's such a disassociated sense in this. I'd like some advice from you to parents, if you don't mind, on how we can start to do this without feeling like we're taking our children off of a social interaction, off of ways, because my kids do make a compelling argument, and I already can sense the hate I'm about to get on the talk and text line and stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. But it's I see it from both sides. I also see that this is how the future works now. How do we start to temper that and teach? Can you stay with us for another segment? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Charlie Potts, the College Interim Dean of Students, with us right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
We're back. Charlie Potts, our guest right now, the College Interim Dean of Students, who is heading up different programs to help kids and college students with their digital well-being, and they do Digital Well-Being Week. I was asking before the break, what is some advice? And, you know, as I'm talking to Dave Harrigan here in studio, he brings up an excellent point and things that, you know, the constructs of socialization and alienation are a different thing now. And, Dave, what were you were explaining about kids and cell phones.
Well, I just don't know. Yeah, my oldest is 7, and, you know, she's going to at some point be asking him about getting a phone so she can get on social media with her friends, and that's the last thing I want. But I have to imagine at the lunch table every day and on the bus, conversations are about what happened the previous night on Instagram and Snapchat and something, you know, Susie said to Billy. And if she's not in on those conversations – you know, how as a parent do you deal with wanting to control social media, but also wanting them to be, you know, a part of things their friends are talking about?
Yeah, I think that's a really difficult issue that parents are facing right now. A lot of the research says, you know, middle school is sort of, you know, the earliest time at which kids should get cell phones. But I think you're right. We see a lot of it in our public schools of exclusion based on not having a phone. And not being constantly connected digitally. So, yeah, I think it's a tough conversation. I think, you know, I am the father of twin 14-year-old boys who spend a lot of time on Instagram. And I think, that, you know, we've had the conversation about, how do you balance that time with in-person? How do you, when you do spend time with friends, how do you set the phones down for a little bit? And I think there can be some good peer pressure back at those who are kind of sticking their nose in their phone a lot. But that's a tricky thing to navigate. And particularly when we're thinking about third, fourth, fifth grade kids who desperately want a phone, but we know, and research shows, that's not going to be good for their mental health. And how do you stay tough as a parent? I think that's a really tough thing to wrestle with right now.
Right. Well, and then it's not good for their mental health, but how's the mental health when their friends and comrades at school and in social settings, oh, look at the poor kid. He doesn't have a phone. Are you poor?
Sure.
Are you? I mean, that mocking, that stuff that can drive kids right into the ground as well. It seems we're facing a whole new wave of how do we get in front of this? And I've been, you know, I've been guilty of letting my kids have phones at an early age. It was primarily because they split time between my house and their mother's, but it was the best way to keep in touch with them. Then I knew that I could contact them and talk to them at any time, knowing, though, that there's only certain parameters I could set on some of the phones that would keep them from accessing different things. And, you know, like our rule was you know, you're going to set up a fake Facebook account that says you're of age. You're going to, everybody was doing it. But the fact is, at any given moment, if I say, give me your phone, you have to hand me your phone and it does not get locked. I get to look and examine and see what your accounts look like and social media looks like and do that. And that was like, I feel like I'm letting myself, in on that. And then I only find out later that was the account they'd let me look at. Their real account was hidden in a folder that said system, you know, analytics or whatever, something I would have not looked into. And I stumbled into those by accident, from time to time. But it's really an interesting balance and dynamic because you don't want to make kids feel alienated. You want to give them this. But we also want, as parents, to put our foot down and say, no, this is not going to be good for you. This is where we have to go. And, you know, like the old saying goes, maybe we just have to go back to the old way of, well, just because Billy jumped off the bridge doesn't mean you have to.
Right. And I think that is a really good strategy, Dave, to say, when I ask you to hand me your phone, you hand me your phone. I think what sometimes a lot of parents miss, and I miss sometimes, is I think there's still value in having the conversation, though, of understanding and acknowledging that kids put a different value on their device, on their phone and social media use than adults ever will, right? Because we didn't grow up with it. And so I just encourage parents not to miss the opportunity there to really dig in with their kid about why is it important to you? Why do you like spending your time here? How does this make you feel? And to have that conversation, because if you don't, I think it encourages hiding things, not being forthright. And so I think I don't want our parents to miss the opportunity to have a worthwhile conversation to understand the kid perspective too.
I know my buddy was like, hey, this is what we do at our dinner table. We have the basket in the middle of the table. Everybody walks in and throws their cell phone in the basket. And during dinner, there's no cell phone. We're a family. But I also want my kids to socialize. And when they say, hey, Dad, I'm just going to go over to Larry's tonight and have dinner. And, you know, then all of a sudden it's just my wife and I sitting at the table. And in order to not turn their phones in, our kids are eating everywhere. That helps our grocery bills. But it doesn't really necessarily help the sociological psychology of our children. They're just finding other ways to evolve and get past what we're trying to do to set as parameters.
Yeah, and I think as parents, you can create opportunities to go phone free. We do it with our students here during the Digital Wellbeing Weeks. Is, you know, leave it behind when you go to the rec center to work out. Leave it behind when you go to lunch, and just try it in those little segments of time to see. To prove that you can get by without it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting way to try to break that addiction, and it works. And students feel better about it. Kids feel better about it when they try that.
It's so funny because I like to think I'm not addicted to my phone. You know, I've got control. I'm an adult. And then I'll go on a cruise. I do a cruise once or twice a year, and it's like a 4-day cruise. And I'm not going to pay the obscene amount of money for internet on the ship. So I just don't use my phone. But it's amazing how twitchy you get thinking, I wonder what everybody's doing. I wonder what Dave Harrigan's having for dinner tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do without a kitten video in another few minutes, right? It's a weird addiction that you're like all of a sudden. But then at the end of it, I kind of feel like I purged some of that vibe from me. And by the fourth day, I'm not even thinking about my phone until the minute we hit dock and I turn on my phone and bing, 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 bing. All of the messages start coming through.
But those little moments, even an hour at a time of not touching your phone leads to, you know, those small behaviors, those small habit changes can kind of lead to long-term behavior change. And that's what we try to do with our Gusties when we do these well-being weeks.
And are they pretty, pretty cool about doing that? Or do you find out that they've got burner phones in their back pocket that they're using after they turn in their digitals to you?
No, I think they're pretty good about it because they know it's a limited time. It's a give this a shot for a few days and see what happens. And so I think that they really, a lot of students give it a real honest effort to just see how it will change their daily habits, to change how they feel. And then the hope is, we're never asking them to give up their phone for good, right? It's just maybe you reduced your screen time by 10% this week and you decided it felt good. So you're going to do 10% again next week. And kind of keep that habit long-term.
Well, and I guess as a parent, you've also got to lead by example. If they see you constantly on your phone, how can you tell them that it's not acceptable for them to be doing that?
Absolutely. You have to role model that.
Oh, that sounds like so much work. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a good millennial imitation there.
Yeah,
that is what it becomes. But we do find ourselves addicted to these situations, wanting to get that dopamine hit ourselves. And maybe it's time to find other ways to get that. I think it's fascinating going to concerts. I love watching a concert. And I can't believe how many people watch a concert through their phone.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know, Springsteen's 20 feet from you, and all you've done is watch it through your phone. Why didn't you just stay home and watch a streaming YouTube video of this concert? Because it seems like that's all you're getting out of this. But people just, we cannot break that habit.
Right. Yeah, and that phrase we sort of use is that when you're on your phone, you're sort of forever elsewhere, right? You're not in the moment. You're not fully engaging with what's around you. You kind of go into this dissociative state where you're, the world kind of blurs behind you. And I think that leads to distraction. It leads to lots of other consequences that we're still learning about.
I'm sorry, Charlie, I missed that. I was on Instagram looking at a couple of pictures my kids just posted. What was that? Charlie Potts, thank you so much for being a part of the show and weighing in on this with us. We appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day. Something to think about. How would you break it? If you want to contact us, you can hit us up through the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line at 651-461-9226. If you are successful at keeping your children off their phones and have found great ways, I would love to hear them, as I'm sure many of the listeners would. And how do you deal with that, keeping kids from feeling isolated and alone, that they're not in the same category as all of the rest of their contemporaries at school? How do you make it seem like they can still live a full, rich life without having a cell phone or tablet? Let us hear from you. Again, that number is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. I'm Dave, and this is News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the program. Boy, it's going by fast. I'm Dave Schrader in for Chad Hartman, having a great time. Thank you for everybody that's been involved on the talk and text line. The stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is hopping, 651-461-9226. We have Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Hi. Well, a couple comments. So kids are going to model what their parents already do.
Right.
That said, my girls are 10 and 7. Mm-hmm. And they've been plunking away on a device since they picked one up, you know,
right,
2 or 3 years old. And my wife and I talked about, should we let them have one? Should we not? We're like, let's see what happens. It's kind of like kids and junk food. If you don't let a kid have junk food, candy, whatever, you restrict it. As soon as they get it, they're going to just go all in on it. And, you know, same thing goes with a device. My girls have had devices as long as they've had toys, and they go back and forth, you know, the way you would just pick up a different toy. I think they learn self-regulation and then base it on what their parents do. So that's kind of, you know, my thought. They got to learn how to use it. You restrict something from a kid, they're going to be all in on it.
Right.
You get the chance to have it. So,
you know what, though? There's, as you grow up and you start having children of your own, and maybe you notice this, Chris, we use our phones maybe more as an interactive tool as well, because our chance to socialize is greatly restricted. We're working, we're right, running kids to games and to sports and dance and this and that and the other, and then trying to get home to make dinner and doing, you know, the laundry, and that's our escape. So they see us on this. It's a weird right place to be, because how is a parent, and making sure you're sane yourself and keeping in touch with people and feeling like you're not isolated, how do we separate ourselves right from that?
That's a good point, too. I
jot that down. Oregon, I had a good point.
No, I work in IT, so I'm always on a device with my laptop or my phone,
right,
keeping in touch because I work remote. And our oldest, she's figured out, you know, she iMessages her grandma and aunt, you know, when she doesn't have to FaceTime, she'll send them text messages back and forth and can interact that way. It's a new world, and our kids are aware that we didn't have, you know, and I think we're all kind of figuring out as we go. You know, no amount of analyzing and popularizing, you know, what should we do is going to make any difference. I think we all have to learn a little bit. You know, restricting is not a good thing, and letting you have full unfettered access isn't great either. So,
yeah. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate you listening and calling in.
You're
to
welcome
be a part of the show. So colleges like the University of Minnesota and the University of St. Thomas are starting to recognize this growing importance of social media skills in today's job market. So we have to start paying attention to that as well. They're introducing coursework and even minors focused on social media management and digital media arts. These programs are aiming to equip students with the expertise needed to navigate and leverage social media platforms for marketing and communications careers. But so many job headhunters and employers are starting to examine our social media to see what we're discussing, how we're representing ourselves, because it is an extension of their business. And first of all, I'm curious, Harrigan, what do you think on that? Do you think that you should be judged by your employer for the things that you post in your personal time on social media?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
It is. So even though it's like, hey, I kind of feel like you shouldn't be judging me for the way I eat or the politics I believe in, but that's kind of the world we're in now, right?
And if you're choosing to publicize it,
right?
Well, there's a reason you're doing it.
Yeah, and if I'm Dave Schrader on WCCO and then on my personal, I'm like, let's go out and kick babies. Yeah, that's a bad extension.
WCCO does not condone the kicking of babies.
No, unless you have slippers on, soft, fluffy slippers.
Even then, I...
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I saw that in the employment handbook.
I don't think it's there.
Maybe. I could be mistaken.
Maybe an old version, but
I think it was 1967 version. I did notice there was a Buick Skylark on the cover. That could be it. You're right. Yeah, so it does. It becomes an extension of what you're representing and mm-hmm. the company that you represent. And people do go and check it out, right? I've been in sales companies where they're like, oh, Dave, yeah, where are you guys based out of Minneapolis? Oh, and then they go look up Dave Schrader. And there's a Dave Schrader in Minneapolis, and they happen to look on my deal, and I am a sales guy, right? And then they're like, oh, that's my Dave, right? That's the guy I buy stuff from. And then all of a sudden I call back a month later to catch up with them, and then they're like, oh, so you support that candidate, huh? I don't think we need to do business anymore. That can have a deep impact and effect on our futures.
Sure. Absolutely can.
Do you put second thought into what you're going to post on social media? You're not a big social media guy, though, are you?
I have accounts on Facebook, Twitter, yeah. Instagram, and I almost never post.
No.
Almost never. Pretty much the only time I do is when I'm trying to fundraise.
I follow your coupon clipping advice on Instagram, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very
yeah,
good.
Well, I do that under a pseudonym so people don't know it's
I know.
Me. But
I know.
Yeah.
But I think people should find it because it's very helpful.
Well, it's a skill, not only just the physical act of clipping the coupon just perfectly right along the lines.
Yeah.
But then, us extreme couponers, we like
I learned how to not nick my finger whilst cutting. The coupons. That was an important lesson for me. But so despite this increasing demand for social media skills, employers are prioritizing experience over formal education in this field. So they're looking at your experience as well. They want to know, in some instances, how good are you at social media?
Sure.
Can you help us with this? What do you represent when you put it out there, right? So there's an element of doing that. And I've been very cautious through the years. You do not know who I vote for. You will not know if I'm a Trumper or a Biden. You just won't know. You know why? Because it's none of your business. And I don't want to post it because that alienates half of the people. Mm-hmm. And I might have other good ideas on other things that you may not even be willing to consider because that's the world we're a part of now, just because of who I voted for. Or am I a Wendy's guy or a McDonald's guy?
No, we know you're a $35 hamburger kind of guy.
Yeah, or McRib if they're available.
That's true.
That's the only time of year I'm a stringent McDonald's guy. Can't get me out of it. Right, so there is that element that part of who you are now, sometimes the business wants to know if you can use your social media to help with what you're doing and with your business career. And they don't want a separate account. They want you to be representing the company and selling things or doing things on your personal accounts to kind of highlight and show the good things that you're a part of with your company.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes an important element of it.
Sure. Yeah. If people know you are associated with the company and they see things on your personal account,
yeah.
Let alone what you're tweeting on behalf of the company or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they see something from you and they know you're a wonderful employee of Target, Best Buy, whatever it is, name a company around here, they'll think, oh, well, that reflects well on the company. Maybe I'll go do business with them. Absolutely. But it's just kind of funny. We talked, for two segments with Charlie from Gustavus Adolphus about, how they're working with
name
students
dropper.
To be very careful with social media and to learn to use it and to learn,
right.
To put their phones down every once in a while and recognize, not only the benefits, but certainly the evils and how social media can warp our brains or, completely change the chemistry of our brains. Yet we have colleges we're talking about offering classes in some cases or full-on degree programs in social media management, because while it is the root of some evils, it is also in 2024 extremely necessary for every company that wants to do business.
Yeah.
And yeah, a degree program is great, but I certainly see why employees or employers are saying, no, we want to see what you've done. We want to see the portfolio because we need help. We don't understand this yet. And some people just have a knack for it. Some people may have learned something in college. I don't know. But it's become such a vital part of the way every company now has to do business.
I know Brad Lane scoured my social media just to make sure that I would fit in. The only thing he asked me to remove was all of the posts about my extensive sock puppet collection. I guess I understand that.
Hmm.
A grown man playing with sock puppets.
I see no problem with that.
An amazing thing, right? And I go to conventions constantly for the sock puppet programs that are out there. But, you know, I guess when you're trying to represent stability, mental acuteness, maybe the sock puppet, I don't know, maybe Brad's overreaching.
No, I've seen your work with the crew socks, and I think they're I think it's spot on.
The voice. I've only got one voice, though, when I do puppets, and it always turns out to be Rolf the dog, and the Jim Henson people are not happy with it. I can't help it. It's the only voice I got. Here, listen. Here's my President Biden. Hey, how's everybody doing? You see? A little bit of a problem.
It sounds like you're Trump.
Yeah. And well, no, my Trump is a lot different. Oh, yeah, we're the best. And check out America. See? Totally different.
Oh, well done. Different.
Thanks. Yeah. Let's take our final break this hour. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss. I'm Dave Schrader, whether you like it or not. And this is News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back. It's 2:52, and that is your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to invest in a clog-free Leaf Guard gutters and receive 75% off installation labor. I'm looking at the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Somebody sent me one that is obviously one of those voice-to-text.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. It says, if I had to listen to my employer outside of work hours and do what they tell me, really ashamed of myself. Anyway, that's just my 2 cents, mark per minute, to know that we have 36 employees. I could give a rat's what to do outside of work as long as they don't drag our name into it. I would still really depressed, Anka.
Okay.
Pull over. You don't need to text me when we're driving. Just pull over and text, or just listen and enjoy the show. Your ideas are welcome always, but not at the expense of gibberish. Am I wrong? Would Chad be upset with me for saying that?
No, I think that's okay.
His constituents.
We could clean up the text. It always does help.
Yeah. Dave, I'm just kind of thinking about what you guys were talking about, your employers knowing what you're doing, that social media. I don't know. That's it. That was the last
one. I don't know.
There might be some bugs we have to work out on the system. I'm just going to put that out there.
That's never happened at Odyssey.
Yeah. He goes, okay, I'm sorry I was texting, but I pulled over. I just did not see what I was texting. Sorry about that. I still love your show. Mark from Initica? What is it? From Initica? Is that a town here?
I'm not familiar with Initica.
I don't know.
Okay.
I still think he's going voice to text. Shame on you, Mark. I appreciate it either way. Good talks. Good guests today. Nice people. Good concepts and ideas. I don't know. I don't know that we're ever going to find the answers to these questions. I feel like, you know, life used to be a little simpler. You know, just a game that we could play. Mm-hmm. Things were black and white. Very few shades of gray. Now I don't know what I know. You know, I never know. Being a parent's tough nowadays because you just don't know. And I try to be – I'm trying to ride that wave of being my children's friend and parent. And in friend, I don't mean I'm yielding to them for stupidity, but I also want them to realize I understand what it was like to be a teen. I understand what it's like to have these desires, to want to have friends, to want to be popular, to have all these things that are done. But – at some point, you got to also, I guess, just drop the heels and say, nope, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, and I think it becomes easier to be a quote-unquote friend of your child as they grow older, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as they get out of high school and they start to learn some things about being in the world, they start to realize that, you know, Dad wasn't wrong about everything.
Not everything.
98%, yes, but there was a 2%. Okay, I'll give him that.
What I think is strange is they want to be best friends till I want to borrow money. Then it's like, you're my dad. I'm like, I thought we were best friends. It's $5. Come on, buy the old man a Wendy's Happy Meal for $4.
No, you get a Happy Meal.
I don't
McDonald's.
Believe that really
You don't
exists.
Get Happy Meals at
No.
At,
what do they call Wendy's? Them there?
Oh, kids'
Value meals.
Meals?
4 for $5?
I'm just saying, don't cross-pollinate the brands here. Wendy's and McDonald's are going to be very upset with you.
I feel like I've got a very judgmental eye staring at me as I start talking.
Where can you even get a sandwich for $4?
That's what I was trying to say. People are texting into me telling, you can go get a $4 burger, nuggets, and soda with a fry meal. Where? 1957?
That seems unbelievable.
That's right.
Although, you're the cheapest man on earth, Harrigan. Do you know where you can get such?
Well, Wendy's, I think they have the $5 deal where you get like the junior chi and you get the, four-piece nuggets.
Are you the master of the app? My kids are very good at using the apps. Like they love you get the McDonald's deals, you get the Taco Bell deals. Yeah.
That is where you get the deals.
It's on the app.
Yes, I've got the DQ app. I've got. My kids love Arby's, so we go
I'd
to the
have to
Arby's
erase
app.
All that porn on my phone to fit another app on there.
Yeah.
Well, you can just send it to the cloud.
Sock puppet porn is very, very.
It's a lucrative business.
Very niche. Very niche.
It keeps me bumping. You know, cash influx, whatever. Guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. Check out sockpuppetdave.com. Don't do that. God knows what's going to show up for that.
No.
Wow. I didn't think this time slot could get any weirder.
No idea. I've been pulling my punches.
Yeah.
We'll have fun, though.
It's nice.
It's been a great time. Chad, thanks for not being here and doing your job. I love stepping in on this opportunity.
He's not going to be here for the next 2 days either. Yeah.
And I might be. Them. You don't know. I could show up. I might just linger and loiter in the lobby and see what comes of it. It could be. Who knows? Yeah. We'll work for
Why
food.
Not?
Yeah,
Why not?
$4 burger deals. That's it for me. Thanks a lot for tuning in and being a part of the show. I'm Dave Schrader in for Chad Hartman. This is News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.